prior to the receipt of a credit, 50% up to $250 for an individual, 25% up to $625 for a corporation. Again, time lags, estimated zero impact for 8183. To the extent you've got to get it in place, you've got to have it working for a year before you can take the credit. Another example of having potential, and I think this one is probably relatively small compared to these others, but potential negative revenue impact, but not in this biennium. We'll be past the 8183 biennium before it takes effect in terms of having a revenue impact.
Are we talking, Mr. Chairman, number six, are we talking, say, not this biennium, but the next biennium, and that business and energy credit to having an impact up to 30 or to 50 million a year?
No, well, that's only the total amount that is being, that would be allowed.
Is likely to come anywhere close to that?
I don't have any figures. And Ron will be working up estimates on this, but I mean, just in terms of them wanting to raise the limit.
Something that's kind of a blank check on the next biennium of quite a lot of money, or it may not be. Maybe
I'll know. I get, and that's something certainly we'll have to provide, you know, specifically in the in our revenue impact. But I just at this point.
Yeah, you really will. You're going to have to categorize these credits.
Shifting now from the personal corporate to some other areas that we want to get into. Next is insurance taxes. Going back to our domestic and foreign insurers, the foreign insurance companies currently pay 2.25% gross premiums tax, with the domestics being under the corporate tax. The governor is proposing to raise the rate for the foreign insurance companies from 2.25% to 3% gross premiums tax, and then to have the domestic insurers at a 0.75% gross premiums tax. So you're increasing the premium tax for the foreign insurers, shifting the domestic insurers from the corporate tax to a lower premium tax.
Mr. Chairman, is there any study that you recall that when we increase insurance tax of this nature, we determine that's automatically passed on because of the cost? Can you show where that just is passed on in higher premiums?
I haven't seen any studies that try to do that, but I haven't really looked for any either.
Yeah.
There may be some that attempt to.
It's very rational since we're controlled on where our rates are determined by the Rating Bureau, and they determine part of the cost, I would presume, from the taxes. You have to pay. I presume that's just a pass on, isn't it?
I would think that to some extent it could be and would be, but whether all of it would be is another question.
I don't know how you would develop that data unless the.
I suppose the Rating Bureau would be the only one that could do that.
Well, and of course, each. It just depends on how competitive the times are. You know, right now there's a.
They may eat some of it.
There's a lot of competition right now, and so they may not be able to. In other areas, I would imagine it's just. But sometimes in that industry, it probably would just be an add-on.
I'll check with the insurance division on that and see if they're aware of anything. What this would do is to create $35.3 million additional for the general fund for both the domestic and the corporate insurance premiums. And then you would have to subtract from that the $2.5 million corporate loss to get a net increase of a little over $32 million for insurance companies.
Do you know what the cost to the domestic companies are when you add the 0.75% and then take away the savings on the corporate?
You're asking how much more tax there'll be on the domestic insurers. I'm not sure about that right now. Okay. What I was told so far was that it's going to be more than the 2.5. The 0.75% premium tax will be more than the 2.5 million reduction.
I had heard some figure like 9 million, but I don't know that's.
I've heard that too, but I haven't.
Okay. Wouldn't you, I don't know whether that, I don't know whether they've deducted what they get out of in the corporate situation.
From that or not.
From that, or whether that's yet to be deducted, Senator Trill.
Yeah, you can't tell us of that $35 million how much comes from each part of that.
Not yet. That will be available though later.
Senator Hanlon?
Foreign insurance companies, will they wind up paying a higher rate of tax than domestic after all this is done, said and done?
Do now.
According to these rates.
They will.
There's another factor to take into account, but
reciprocity.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Well, yeah, and I don't think we need to dwell on it, but the reciprocity situation where our domestic companies are foreign companies in other states. And I think it's automatic, isn't it? In most of those
most
cases,
states.
That reciprocity is automatic. But we'll have to wait until we see those figures to determine where we're at with them, because as we tax them, they increase the.
That's where I was leading, the justification.
Yeah, there'll be more on that. The next line there is, it isn't on the other, it isn't on your list, but the governor is also recommending to increase the license fee for insurance companies from $150 to $300 per year, and that's estimated to bring in another $330,000. The then, general fund.
Then if you're a member of the legislature, that doubles.
That's for companies. I don't know anybody here that owns the company.
The next one on that list at the back is the cigarette tax, House Bill 2218. The governor's proposing to increase the cigarette tax from 9 cents per pack to 14 cents per pack, or 5 cents per pack increase. Keep in mind that in this process that the distribution is 1/9 to cities, 1/9 or 1 cent to counties, and 7 cents to the general fund out of the current 9 cents. With the increase to 14 cents per pack, he's not proposing any change in that distribution system. And so there would be more money going to cities, more to counties, as well as to the general fund from this increase. The distribution formula wouldn't be changed, at least in his proposal.
Okay. Senator Trill?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we could examine what perhaps the distribution formula cities and counties counted on getting that additional money. Be possible, at least, to channel more of that to meet the state needs at this point.
You could channel it all to the general fund, I suppose, if you wanted to.
Well, that's a lot.
You can see there that the additional to local government is currently estimated at about $6.7 million, and then the $23.4 million for the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I tell you, when we passed the cigarette tax, since I was the author of it, we had quite an argument. One of the ways we finally passed it was by a distribution formula.
I'm not saying do that.
Oh, I know that. I just thought I'd tell you that the only way we ever got it passed in the first place was because that formula was probably
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
What's the cigarette tax rate in Washington?
16 cents per pack.
Okay, this would raise it to 14.
Yeah, still be a 2 cent differential.
Any consideration of raising ours to 16?
Pick up a little opposition in northern Portland, I would
yes,
think.
Right. That's a little differential there for a little trade.
Well, no, a heavy smoker, it would pay to drive across the river.
Sure.
Plus.
Well, it certainly pays them now for 7 cents difference.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. If you narrow that difference or take it away completely, the merchants who are the recipients of all that business, because if they buy their cigarettes there, they probably buy
them. They burn less gas, though.
Most people who, you're talking about Washingtonians who trade in North Portland, most of them, you know, some of them buy cigarettes and some of them don't, but the reason that they trade in North Portland is primarily because of no sales tax, and I think they'll continue to do that whether or not there's a differential in the cigarette tax rate.
Hi. How about a
they got a hell of a deal in Indian
about a 40 cent tax on out of staters and keeping ours the same.
We kind of tried that.
I don't know why five cents was chosen, but again, that would make us higher than either Idaho or California on just the cigarette tax.
What is Idaho's?
9.1 cents.
Is it?
California's 10 cents. But if you combine their cigarette tax and their sales tax, then you're about equal.
And at 16 cents, our tax on cigarettes would still be less than Washington because they have 16 cents plus a sales tax.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask one other question? I can divide that, but the way it looks here, what does it raise? About 1.2 million for each cent increase? Is that approximately?
No, it'd be more than that.
How much?
Almost 5 million.
For each cent?
I thought it was about 3 million.
Oh, of course. That's the increase. You're right.
Sure.
Okay.
5 million for each cent?
Almost. Yeah. Yes, for the state share.
Okay. All right, for the state share. Yeah. I got you. All right.
Okay, then going into just some general fees here. I don't think all of these are listed on the summary sheet anyway, but corporate fees is, let's see, 1210. The Corporation Division, specifically the Department of Commerce, or Corporation Division within the Department of Commerce, is proposing to raise various fees that they charge corporations for licenses and certifications of various kinds. And that would raise almost $6 million more for the general fund.
Okay, that really raises a question. You know, in developing a revenue package as to who gets jurisdiction over those bills. Normally, those go to Ways and Means, don't they? Where they combine them with the budgets,
yes,
and that sort of thing.
Yeah, some of these probably you won't see here. just like the next one, Department of Water Resources wants to increase some of the fees again to make the administrative costs more equal to the fees that are being collected for these various things, and that's estimated at about $395,000. And then we're to liquor, and Terry will tell you about that.
Again, another example here of something not necessitating specific legislation. Currently, the Liquor Control Commission sets the markup. Currently, it is at 94% of landed costs is the markup on distilled spirits that then end up in the green front. So the governor's recommendation that this markup be increased by 5%, i.e. 5 percentage points from 94% to 99% markup. Another example here of like a cigarette tax is that this is a shared revenue source. Approximately 34% of the markup receipts, if you will, go to cities. Another 10% go to counties, and the remaining 56% go to the state. Under this markup, and assuming, by the way, for the most part, no change in consumption from a 5% increase in the markup, is estimated by the governor's budget to produce almost $4.6 million. That's state share. Again, it would also produce almost slightly less than that in terms of increased revenues to cities and counties via the sharing nature of this source.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day.
I don't know how much of a task it is, but I know that I'd surely like to see a bill of particulars, particularly on these changes in fees and so forth. See what that total adds up to, and at least department-wise, maybe not each little section, but department-wise, what that is in total revenue. Because, you know, we look at this, and we look at a total tax package, we talk about raising revenue of $241 million. That isn't what the tax increase we're looking at. We're looking at a tax increase if you tie the gasoline tax increase and these fees, of which are unknown at this point, is considerably higher. That balances budget. Isn't that right?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fagley has estimated the total amount of $390 million, I think.
Now, I haven't seen these. I know there's a whole series of fees changes, and I don't know whether that's too much of a task, but I would particularly appreciate it if you could give us a bill of particulars. When you say unknown, that isn't just cigarette and whiskey money, putting literally, and not to throw a pun at you, that's your hidden funds. I'd kind of like to know if it's
spots.
Please realize that this we today in sort of presenting this, we picked up the governor's figures verbatim to the extent that in many cases we didn't have the final bills. And we will be providing you, you know, analytical and specific dollar figures type of information with respect to each one of these proposals that are in our area. Now, some of these corporate fees granted may be over in fiscal.
Now, the point being that in the area of fees and charges, where it says unknown, he says that he's totaling $241 million without that in it. That the fees are, that this category fee and charges is going to raise some revenue, unknown amount of revenue, that will be on top of his $241 amount.
That's correct.
And these are fees that go into the general fund up and beyond, do they actually add revenue or do you know in the budget whether they were designed to pay off?
Offset. It's an offset situation where they're designing these budgets, I think, to fund themselves and that they're allowing those fee increases to take care of, at least that's my general understanding.
100% of the cost or
wherever they can generate it. Or eliminate general funds where former general funds were supportive, they're eliminated in many, many cases.
Okay.
Granted, normally in revenue we sort of stayed away from this, but to the extent that we had a couple of bills that were, you know, specifically identified some relatively large total dollar figures is why we included them in this report.
But the difference between that category and the corporation fees is the corporation fees would be another $6 million in the general fund, up and beyond what it costs to administer the laws regulating those corporations. That must be it.
Until I knew more about the individual fees and their potential dedication, I would assume that that's correct.
Yeah, it's not a fair question to you at this time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stead.
The governor went after the hard liquor drinkers and the smokers. How come no one has done anything about the beer drinkers and the wine drinkers?
By the way, that you're correct to the extent that those rates are specified in the law. And that would necessitate, I don't know why, but this is the one change that could be made, or at least one of the changes that could be made without a specific legislation. The beer and wine rates are in the statutes.
It's been suggested that we change the statutes in other areas. I'd like to take a look, see. Yeah.
Soft drinks too?
Sure.
I think.
No.
You're meddling now.
I think one of the things is that I would imagine as he looked at this package, he knew he made X number of people mad, and by adding that, it became X times X, and that.
In 1982, it's re-election.
Well, and also remember the Senate Bill 19 that was vetoed. This may be how you make up for that. Senate Bill 19, what was vetoed in the beer and wine distributors, that was their major bill, and they were maybe left out of this revenue package. but I think we have to look at all areas and examine the fairness if we're going to do any of it.
A couple more items here. One, interest earnings. As a result of some of these higher tax collections and fees, they have estimated that there'd be about $6 million in additional interest earnings.
But that's a very soft figure.
I would assume
because the general fund in this last biennium ran into cash flow problems, and we probably would not earn all that interest.
I would guess that they estimated some additional increase in whatever the working balance is in terms of trying to determine when the money would be coming in versus when it would go out. Okay, then going to the dedicated fund, the highway fund, the numbers that you see in the budget on the highway, on the highway receipts, etc., are at the current tax rates, the 7 cents per gallon gasoline tax and current weight mile tax schedule. But the Department of Transportation is also submitting a bill, House Bill 2034, which would create a variable gas tax. And with the idea that the formula used to determine the tax or the gas tax rate each year would try to maintain 1979 purchasing power. And it would use the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, to adjust that and also adjust it by the number of gallons of gasoline sold each year.
Okay. That $55 million is part of his $241
million? No.
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
No.
Senator Monroe?
Does he anticipate that that would be a referral?
Yes. Yes. As far as I know, yes, the Department of Transportation. I don't think, I'm not sure whether the referral is in the bill now, but they would have no objections to including referral if it isn't already in there.
They have no objection to defeat.
The second question is, has there been any discussion of separating the issue of the gas tax increase and the weight mile tax?
No, not that I'm aware of anyway. That if the gas tax, they're both in the same bill. If the gas tax would go up according to this formula, the weight mile tax schedule would also go up.
Okay.
But the gas tax would be adjusted every year. The weight mile fee schedule would be adjusted every 2 years.
Of course, we're going to get this report that you ordered, and that'll all work itself out when we look at that report.
Mr. Chairman, it might make sense, though, to separate those two into two different bills. Just simply because the variable gas tax is very likely to be reverted and perhaps voted down. The other one might not be.
I kind of like him. Combination.
Okay.
You like
yeah.
You're meddling with me.
Senator Trow, you've been given the Meddler's Award for today.
You're a meddler, Coke, and weight mile tax.
You're now finding out why we'll all still be here in August.
That's right.
Okay.
The Department of Transportation, again, has estimated that that would result in an increase from 7 cents to 11 cents per gallon in 1983. As it is, my understanding now that there is no limit in terms of how much it could increase per gallon, so that if for some reason gasoline wasn't available and the number of gallons sold drastically decreased, that could have quite an impact on the future gas tax rate. The estimated revenue, $95 million. Again, the distribution formula is not change. Cities receive a little over 12%, counties a little over 20%, so that you would have the highway fund getting about 64.5 million out of that total. Cities another 11.5 million, the counties 19 million. So again, it would mean more money for cities and counties for highway.
Well, Steve, this $95 million figure is not included in the $881 million figure that we were given of the total revenues available for the next biennium and for highways? Or was this included in that chart we had yesterday, or do you know?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
It was not, so this would be in addition to that.
The chart, well, are you talking about the chart that I had?
The report.
Yesterday?
The yes. Report, yeah.
On the highway fund, the
yes.
Highway revenue,
yes.
That was 79.81, right? Not 81.83,
okay.
So
okay.
It was not.
But it is, pardon me, Mr. Chairman, it is included in the governor's budget, though.
No, it isn't.
It is not.
It is not.
Well, what's the plan for the money?
Pardon?
Is there a plan for the money?
You mean in terms of what the highway division would do with it?
Yes.
I assume that they would have more projects available that they could complete. It would have to be spent on the highways.
That's a new way to go.
Pardon, are you sure the governor didn't include this as part? He included as expenditures budget based upon this tax package, did he not?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't he include the gas tax revenue as part of that if you were budgeting for this increase?
No, I think the Department of Transportation submitted their budget as though there would be no gas tax
okay.
increase.
That'd be safe.
Yeah. Okay.
And that this is then
okay.
would be.
But that's not true of the other.
No.
All right.
No, okay.
That's
okay.
Something that they're going to have to, the difficulty in selling that. Outside of saying we're going to a better system, is going to be extremely difficult unless they, well, I guess what they'd say is they'd move up their six-year plan
well,
2 years
they'd
or.
They'd show their maintenance repair, say, I assume what they do is show the impact of maintenance and repair that they've been arguing about on potholes and show how they would accelerate that program.
That's probably the same program that my constituents tell me about every day where there's six people standing around each pothole and they have nothing in the truck to fix it with.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, just so I can understand this. The governor's
budget is not out of balance by $95 million.
No.
Because that's not figured into it. That's what you're saying.
But that's an exception to this entire budget, yeah, is that correct?
Yes. All right,
fine. Yes.
We should not count this $95 million. We've got to make up the balance.
Okay, that about covers it. Of course, the other miscellaneous fees and charges. These are the.
You aren't going to try to give us a summary of those, is that correct?
No.
You are not?
No. Oh, excuse me.
In the future, you will try to research that out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Senator Monroe?
Yeah, question backing up on the point number one, the personal exemption. How much increase in taxes would the individual typical homeowner, say with a family of four, have to pay? And you know, if that index were not allowed, any figures on that?
Well, I can give you an example.
What would the personal exemption be with the indexing and without the indexing?
Okay, bear with me. I don't know specifically what the assumptions are behind this 85, but I think I can come close to it on an example. Let's say that we have a family of four, so we're declaring four exemptions. Mm-hmm. And currently, let's say we limit it to $1,000, so I got $4,000 in exemption, and I'm at the 10% bracket. Okay. So that what that exemption means to me is $400 less tax. Okay, now compare that to, let's say that in the first year we would have had 10%, so we don't know what that figure is yet, but let's say it's 10% round figure.
Well, wasn't it about 14 last year?
Well, yeah, but realize that we would, this first time this would take place would be for the 81 tax year, and we use the July 180 to the July 181 figures, and so they're not in yet, and we
they're
are
going to be more than 10%, though.
Well,
they're going to be at least 12.
We use 12.
Keep calculations. 12. So.
Okay, so let's say it goes up 12%.
To work.
So we go to $1,120.
All right.
Which times 4?
You'll just have to bear with me.
Well, it's $4,480.
You can put anything up there because there's nobody here that can figure it out either.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which at
I can multiply 4 times 12.
At the 10% tax rate means that's worth $448. So the difference for this individual in this example, family of four at the 10% bracket, the difference is $48. And it would pay $48 more tax in the little example here that if that was not indexed in the first year. Now realize that this then compounds. We're talking about 2 years in this example, which your 12% is really going to cause me trouble. Let's
call it 20. Make it easy. We'll call it 25.
Call it 25. Round to
25. 25.
Okay.
Yeah. Compound it 12. Call it 25.
Which means that we go up to $1,250. It's a nice round number. Their total exemption is that it'll be worth $5,000, which is another $52 differential on top of the 48. Now this accumulates. So see, we had a $48 difference here, and let's say this is 81
plus 100.
And now it's a $100 difference here over the 2 year period of $148 to this family of four at the 10% bracket. Now, one thing I get, remember, I think, well, this is important in the long term view that then realize under the governor's proposal, what would happen was you would return to the indexing system after 1982, which means that using our little numbers here, give me another, let's say 12% on top of that in 83. This is what it would be if we don't change the law. If we, governor's proposal, we freeze these at $1,000 each. Okay, these both are frozen at 4,000. But this would kick back in then at the accumulated rate such that...
So it would go to the 13 or whatever.
Well, yeah, times 4, call it somewhere around $5,500. So that you, under the governor's proposal, you just sort of overlay these with a freeze in at 1,000, but you keep accumulating this index, and it kicks back into the what really is a three-year catch, is a one-time catch up in 83, and then you go on with the yearly indexing. I'm probably not saying as well as I should, but all we're doing is, in the government proposal, is we're freezing in $1,000 for these 2 years, but we're still accumulating index from 1981 on, and it would kick back in at its index level from the base year all the way to 83.
Which means if the revenue impact this biennium is 85 million, the revenue impact of either maintaining the freezer or allowing it to kick in next biennium when we make that decision be about over twice that much.
Given our assumptions on inflation, yes.
So we're going to be looking at 170 million or 180 million next time and gulping and wondering if we can fit it into the budget, things like that. Okay.
It's the same way with inventory tax payments, are the very same.
It appears somewhat ironic to me that 2 years ago the governor recommended and the legislature agreed to give back 90 million, and now he's wants it back again, except not all in the same ratio from the same taxpayers, I might add.
Senator Trump, did you have?
Okay, again, I think as soon as we can get an analysis of these, the better off the process will be, not us as individuals, but the